Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into, they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you enjoyed service here Wednesday night? Amen. You glad to be part of a Book of Acts church? Amen. Are you glad to be part of it? Praise the Lord. It's just so good to be a Christian, to be a believer, to know that you're believing something that's really real. It's good to be part of that, isn't it? Amen. Hey, you're not all of it, but aren't you glad you're part of it?
Amen.
Wherever we fit in the picture, we're part of the picture. Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Play it some more, guys. God bless you, Samuel.
Thank you.
glory. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, goodness, you can beat that. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him a big hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit while we look at our prayer request tonight. One of Brother Kenneth Rigsby called from Tazewell and requested prayer for his wife, who's in the intensive care unit, very seriously ill. Doctors are not expecting her to pull through, so we want to remember that prayer request, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Sister Daisy Rice offers this testimony. I want to give the Lord the glory and honor that is due Him for healing my back. He healed me about 8 months ago, and I failed to turn in a testimony, and the pain came back. I prayed and asked Him to forgive me and to heal me again. He has mercifully healed me again. I'm still believing for the healing of my eyes. This macular degeneration, that's what she's suffering from. Please help me pray for it. I love you all. May God bless you, Sister Daisy Wright. That's a precious little sister right there, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Just really remember her in prayer tonight. I want to remember Brother Randy Walton's daughter, Brandy. The Lord knows all about her need tonight. We just committed it unto the Lord. Dwayne and Mary Elizabeth Buckner, they want to praise the Lord for keeping them and their home safe during Hurricane Matthew. So we praise the Lord that that was good on their part anyway. A lot of folks have suffered losses and things, but it could have been a whole lot worse. We're just thankful for the grace of God. I want to pray for Brother Jeff Nunley. He is in the intensive care unit. They think maybe he has a liver problem, has been vomiting up blood. They don't know exactly the extent, but they're looking at his liver. So let's pray for him that the Lord will be merciful unto him. Special unspoken prayer request that God knows all about. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Sister Linda Kennedy says, please pray for me. I have a lot of pain in my body. So let's remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. Sister Estep had a biopsy done and it came back positive, but she isn't accepting it, and she wanted the church to pray with her for complete healing. So we just commit that need unto the Lord. God is more than able, isn't He? Amen. Debbie Hayes wants to be put on the prayer list. She has cancer and is to have a bone marrow transplant very soon. So let's remember that Hayes lady, that the Lord would just be mindful of her and give her healing in her body. I have a very urgent unspoken prayer request I would like for the church to help me pray about. There's no name to that. We'll just commit it unto the Lord. Sister Jan Winters, very sick and body needs healing tonight. We want to pray for her that the Lord would be mindful of her situation. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs tonight. How many of you know we're serving a prayer answering God? You believe that with all your heart. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. What a risen Savior we're serving tonight, and we know He's more than able to meet whatever you have needed. Brother Bert, would you come tonight? Take us to the Lord. As we stand, let's just commit these things unto the Lord. We ask our Brother Samuel had an unspoken prayer request he wanted you to pray about. We just commit it unto the Lord. So we know God's able, don't we? Amen. Love you, buddy.
A strong tower in this time, Lord, that we live. And we're just so grateful to be able to stand here, Lord, to come for another time to be washed free of all the hindrance and clutter of the world, Lord, and to come into Your presence by faith right now, Father. Just we know Your presence has been here, Lord, as You've inhabiting our praise, Lord. We have the opportunity tonight to personally come our soul in heavenly places, Lord, to hear personally from You for each individual heart, Lord, what we have need of. We're so grateful for that, Lord. There's no way to express it in words, just my feeble attempt. And Lord, the honor and the privilege, Lord, to know that we are heard and that we bring our petitions unto You with thanksgiving, Lord, knowing that You've already made a way for each one to be met. Lord, with all sincerity, we know each of us in this room, Lord, is no doubt going through things that they can so empathize with the needs that I hold in my hands, Father. And I believe by the things You've brought each one of us through, Lord, we can enter in right now by faith and fervent, effectual prayer that will be honored and released the power of the Word, Lord, for each of these needs. And we so thank You. This is not a ritual. This is a reality. This is the living God in a people. God, thank You, Father, that each one of these will be met in Your perfect way. Thank You, Father. Come forward into the remainder of the service, Lord, in the worship. Just inhabit our praises further on into the coming of the Word. Just anoint our pastor, whoever be speaking, Lord. Give them complete liberty to enter into the channels of Your heart and mind for every need in this room, Lord, and those that would hear, Father God. And may we be also anointed, Lord, to absolutely enter in with no hindrance, Father, to receive everything that You have for us tonight. Thank You, Father. It's in Your name that we exist, and we thank You. Amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let me make a couple of announcements while they're receiving the offering tonight. Everyone is invited to the household shower of Levi Lunsford and Rachel Wyko. That's tomorrow evening, October the 9th at 6 p.m. in the church fellowship hall. Couples are welcome. So if you'd like to be here for that, I'm sure they'd love to see you. Bring something when you come. No, just come up here. Bring something. Amen. We want to announce this also tonight and tomorrow. If you got any questions about this, you can see Brother Michael Bailey. The shoeboxes are now available to pick up in the fellowship hall for the next few services. If you do not have time to shop, you can make a donation to the library, and we will fill the order for you. So that's pretty handy, isn't it? So remember that. That's a big push that they put on this time leading into the Christmas season for needy folks, needy people, needy children, and we can all be a part of that. So let's look to that tonight, if you will. See Brother Michael if you got any questions. Let's sing a song tonight. I'm rich. Now, don't you look at my billfold, because you'll be totally disappointed. And if you looked at my bank account, you'd even laugh. But I'm rich in something else. I'm rich in His favor. I'm rich in His love. I'm glad I'm rich that way. How about you tonight? Are you glad you're that rich? Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. I'm rich in faith, hope, and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. I'm rich in faith, hope, and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir.
My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I believe I own at least one. I stand amazed when I see His face, knowing that I'm His son.
I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir.
I've a guardian angel watching me. He's with me everywhere. When I need my Father in heaven above, I breathe just a simple prayer.
I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion over in glory, for I'm a rightful heir.
He has cleansed me, forgiven me of all my sins. He turned me in. He's building me a mansion beyond compare.
How
God fuller.
He looked beyond my fault and He saw my need. Aren't you so glad that He done that for you? He didn't throw us away. He didn't say, I ain't spending no more time on that sorry outfit. But every time we mess up, He takes us to the potter's house. We get reconstructed, remolded, a new train of thought, and we come back out a better vessel than we was when we went in. Are you glad to be in the potter's house tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him with all your heart tonight. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Oh, to view the cross where Jesus died. Sister Tamika and the boys, are they here, Brother Larry, to sing for us? And then we had another song. They know who it was. Y'all come on and get ready to sing. Also, let's sing this little chorus together as they get ready to sing for us tonight. I'm so glad I've crossed over the line. And that's not a line of unbelief, but I'm a total believer. How about you? Are you a total believer tonight? Look at somebody, say, are you a believer? Look at him, ask him, just ask him real seriously, are you a believer?
Amen.
And then tell them this, aren't you glad that you are? Aren't you so glad that you are? Amen. Well, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the night. I'm so glad I crossed over it. We appreciate this family right here. Give them a nice hand tonight as you're seated tonight. God bless you.
Ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why.
Because
my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say,
my sins are gone.
The blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
Because
Family, friends, and money, loved the Lord with all his heart. So the devil went to Job, God, and said, oh, Job would fall apart. If you should take away his merchant, let me put him to the test. And soon poor Job had lost his health and wealth and all the rest. And as his troubles added up, fell down on his knees and said, Lord, I still got one thing, and that's your love for me. You've got to count your blessings. You'll find one if you try. Count on the Lord and watch that blessing multiply. Those might have, could have, should have been's are nothing but distressing. You're down and out, it's time to count your blessings. You may go through hard times when you fall into despair. Remember you're surrounded by his blessings everywhere. It's in a neighbor's helping hand, or in the sunshine of a smile. One blessing leads to one more, you'll be counting for a while. It's best to look at what you have, forget what you have not, and learn a lesson from old Joe. Give thanks for what you got. You've got to count your blessings. You'll find one if you try. Count on the Lord and watch that blessing multiply. Those might have, could have, should have been's are nothing but distressing. When you're down and out, it's time to count your blessings. One risen Savior, one perfect love, one holy promise,
Craig, and we'll lead us in a chorus. We'll help you if that's all right. Amen.
I am redeemed. You set me free. Shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. You set me free. Heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Jesus. You set me free.
You set me free.
So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
Amen. Let's sing it again. Thank God. Aren't you glad you're redeemed tonight?
I am.
Jesus. Praise the Lord. I don't think we... No. Nuh-uh. Nobody. Nobody here. We'll begin here, back. None of us appreciates being redeemed the way we really ought to. That's right. Oh my. Thank God for redemption.
Amen.
Thank God you're redeemable.
Amen.
What good's redemption do if you're not redeemable?
Right.
Amen. Romans chapter 9 verse 10. You'll see in a minute why I'm so happy that I'm redeemed. Not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election, might stand. Now let's look at this word together, the meaning of election. Look on the board there with me, the screen. Chosen. The act of picking out, choosing. Used of the act of God's free will, which before the foundation of the world, He decreed His blessings to certain persons. The decree made from choice by which He determined to bless certain persons through Christ by grace. Praise be to God. We can say hallelujah and go home. My. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now remember, Paul is quoting from the book of Malachi. Malachi is the one who says this. He rewrites it. And Paul is quoting from there. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Before ever either one of these boys was ever born, God decreed this to Rebekah. Now you imagine what a burden for a mother to bear. You know you're carrying twins, and God tells you before they're ever born, the elder is going to serve the younger. And oh yeah, I hate the oldest one, but I love the youngest one. Well, is that your Bible? Do you believe it? But now how can God do this? By foreknowledge. He knew exactly what Esau would be. You see, this is why he could, in the same book here, verses on down, he could say about Pharaoh, for this same purpose, I've raised you up, Pharaoh. And he told Moses, I'll harden his heart. How in the world could God do that? Because God foreknew what Pharaoh would do. Praise the Lord. But Jacob alone was seed. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your great word. I'm so grateful for election tonight, Father. I'm so grateful that you chose to go this way, not to leave us to our own demise, to our own abilities, our own works, even our own choice. Where would we be tonight if we were left to ourselves? It's pretty easy to see before you got a hold of us. Lord, I thank you tonight for your grace. We know it don't mean you push us through a pipe and pull us out on the other side. But Lord, you will save your people. I pray that you'd help us tonight, Father. You see our needs among us are many. Lord, we want to remember those that are sick and afflicted. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help each one here present, those that are invisible. Lord, I want to mention Brother Eugene Kennedy, Lord, unable to come in the house of God tonight, but wanted to come to church so bad. Sitting outside in his car with a little radio transmitter, Lord. Sitting out there listening to the service. Lord, for those who go to Walmart on Saturday night and go out to a restaurant and eat, these things is going to meet them one of these days. For those who stay home and could go to the house of God and don't do it, a brother like that, Lord, ain't even got enough strength to come in and sit down. Yet he wanted to be able to come. Lord, I pray you bless our brother out there in his car, Father. May the presence of God come and move for him and heal him, Lord Jesus. Anoint us tonight, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you love him with all your hearts? Amen. You can be seated. God bless you. I know it don't seem like that we'll ever quite get done with all the galleries that we've been led down. It seems as if though we go into one and it veers off to the right and then ties into another and then it goes off to the left and ties into another and goes off to the right and back to the left and the right. And then we're thinking, where in the world are we? Where are we going? Well, I know where we're going for sure. Don't you? But, you know, I realize as we look into the greatness of our God, I used to be astounded at the statement that Brother Branham would make that it would take eternity for us to be able to relate to him and how that he would be in eternity continuously revealing himself and his being. And we're not going to be talking about serpent seed and bobbed-haired women and painted faces and all that sort of thing in eternity. That's not what we're going to be rallying around. But we'll be rejoicing and rallying and worshiping him through eternity Him declaring still His greatness and His goodness. And as we break into the Word, I begin to see a little more of how that can actually be. It's like there is no end to the eternal, so therefore there is no end to His Word. For His Word are truly His traits or His characteristics by which He is known by. I'd like to speak to you then tonight on the gallery, this gallery that I love so well. It's election. The gallery of election. To me, it's one of the most precious that there is. It's something that's total sovereign. It's not something that you and I can add to. It's not something that we can take away from. It's not affected by time. It's not affected by politics. It's not affected by people. It's not affected by trials, tests, things we go through. It's not affected by our faithfulness to God. It's not affected by how much you pray, how much you don't pray, how much you attend church, whether you don't attend church. This is a great gallery that God Himself chose, an avenue by which He would reveal His unending mercy. And it is His own election. Now, election, of course, is a very great thing. That is, of course, if you like it. Now, some people don't like election, which is hard for me to understand. But actually, election actually makes some people mad. It upsets some folks, and they hear it preached and read about and talked about. My, it's just like it just really upsets them and really bothers them. But to me, I read it and I think, oh my, why wouldn't you love it? Why wouldn't anybody love it? Why would anybody be mad if they thought God elected them? Well, it ought to make you the happiest person in the world to think that God, by His grace, elected you to grace and mercy to be able to be found favor in the eyes of God. Now, I know that for many people, no doubt, it's because of a lack of understanding or maybe sometimes a misrepresentation of what a preacher or more than one preacher has told them. Well, people who believe in election believe in this and this and this and this, and it would say a bad taste in their mouth. And they've not really sat down to hear it really preached in its clarity and the way that it is. But for anyone who looks at it from the scope of Scripture and from not the ideology of man or the tradition of man, but looking at it from the very perspective of God and seeing how God sees it. Oh, what a beautiful story that it unveils not only about us, but about the very nature and the very idea of God Himself. Now, as we've been looking at election, predestination, elect, and so on, let's look at it from the perspective of the Old Testament and bring it up into the New to be able to get a true view of it. Isaiah 45:4, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee that thou mayest know me. Now notice here that election is not, the beginning of it is not in the New Testament. It is not just a New Testament doctrine, but it is actually an Old Testament doctrine that merges into the New through the avenue of God's grace. Now, grace does not override or even conflict with election. As a matter of fact, it goes hand in hand. Election truly is God's grace. Notice again, He said, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel my elect, I have even call thee by thy name, I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Now look at election and how that in the Old Testament that God showed them, it was by election that I've even called you. I called you before you even knew me, and I surnamed you. I gave you your true family name, which of course was the children of Israel. So how did that come? By election. You know how you're called a real Christian tonight if you are one? Election. Now watch, Isaiah 65:9. I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect, notice, mine elect shall inherit it, and my servant shall dwell there. Now notice, Isaiah 65 is pointing to the seventh and the eighth day, or the millennium and eternity. Now here God is speaking of the inhabitants of the elect, that they will inhabit the mountain. Notice they are not going to live outside the city. So it is through the grace of God that the elect will inhabit the mountain of the Lord. Now he says, the inheritor of my mountains, mine elect shall inherit it, and my servant shall dwell there. Notice Isaiah 65:22. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Oh, praise the Lord. Mine elect. But now they won't be the only ones there. They won't be the only ones that will have a work of their hands. We know in the millennium we build our houses, but in the eighth day he's already gone to prepare it. But there will be work that we will do in eternity. But remember, we will not sweat. It will not be labor. It will be more so like it was in the Garden of Eden. But the elect are the Levites, or the tithing of the consecration of God, the harvest cycle down through time. And they will be recipients of the kings of the earth as they bring their tithing from outside the garden walls, as it were. They will bring their tithing into the city where the bride lives. So it will be the inhabitants of the mountain of God, which are the elect. Others are saved. Others are recipients of eternal life. They walked into a sphere or a realm of eternal life that they never had while they were a mortal. But the elect, it is not so. Now watch, God, of course, dealing with Abraham. And whenever we look at Adam, we know that Adam was actually in substance and in form in the mind of God before he was ever brought into the dust of the earth. God made him a spirit man. God said, let us make man our own image, after our own likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air. Now this is the spirit man. And then God takes that man and places him in a body of dust. So Adam becomes substance, but before he was substance, he was an attribute of God's thinking. And Adam, of course, in this time frame, election was not in full display, because it was the apparently the first name that was under Christ's name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, had my name been under Christ's name, it would have been me and Carol in the Garden of Eden instead of Adam and Eve. If it had been Brother Gene's name after Christ's name, it would have been him and Sister Jen in the Garden of Eden instead of Adam and Eve. But God chose to bring Adam first. Now, he was an attribute of God, and he places him there, but because you're only dealing with one kind, you don't need to work so much on the aspect of the force of election. So you speak that one from the first name in the book, which is under the Lamb's book itself, under the Lamb's name. Now in that, of course, God had Adam, and then he has Abel, and then he has Seth, and then he has Enos and Jared, and so on and so on and so on. And God is calling the elect out of the divine order, out of the Lamb's book of life. But as the seed now becomes upon the earth, and it becomes mixed, as we know in Genesis 6, then election will come into more plain view, because you have different kinds of seed on the earth. Some are germatized alive, some are what the prophet called ungermatized seed of human life. They are humans, and they do have a right to choose if they so desire, but they are not elect. You follow me? Now, when God goes to displaying election then, when it comes into real view, is after the populace of the earth has now reached the state in Genesis 6 when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they taken wives, and of course we know that God brings the antediluvian destruction upon the earth. Then Noah's sons come out, and they go to diversifying over the earth and going this way and that way and that way, but God still has a seed. Now, even though Genesis 6, the sons of God saw the daughters of men. And before this time, there's two separate sea lines. And that was that it was the sons of God coming down through Shem, coming down through the side of God's chosen ones. And also on the other side is the serpent sea. Now, Satan didn't just want one child, but he wanted a whole bunch. So what he wanted to do, if he can get the sons of God to marry up with the daughters of men, then the seed will be mixed and there'll no longer be a separate bloodstream of sons of God and a separate bloodstream of the serpent seed. Then what he'll be able to produce is that even in the elect families, they will have to deal with murder. They will have to deal with hate. Before, Abel never had hate. He couldn't. He's from the holy stream of Adam. Even after Adam fell, Adam was not in that potential of the crossing of the seed of God and serpent seed. But after Genesis 6, then we find a Moses that has the ability to be a murderer in the same way that Cain was. We find a Noah coming out and being a drunk. We find, so what was it? Satan done exactly what he wanted to accomplish, and that was merge the seed lines and the bloodlines together so that every human being would be tainted with this mixture of seed. Oh, you say, didn't that disrupt the program of God? Never disrupted it one iota. God knew that it would happen. Now, Satan would be able to cross the bloodlines and mix up the DNA, but he wouldn't be able to cross the names in the Lamb's Book of Life. So God kept that to himself, but he must work it in the line of what? Through the realm of election. So God then would work in the realm of election with the elect seed, and he would work in the realm of foreknowledge with the non-elect. Now this is how he was able to harden this one's heart and that one's heart and that one's heart. No doubt they had an opportunity and they flatly refused. If you've studied even the book of Exodus, you'll find out the scripture said, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then you'll find out the Bible said, and God hardened his heart. And then you'll find the Bible said, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then you'll find the Bible said, and God hardened his heart. And then you'll find the Bible said, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. Miracle after miracle. You see it going back and forth. How could it be? God justly could harden Pharaoh's heart by foreknowledge, seeing what Pharaoh would do. But let me tell you something, friend. You're not just saved by foreknowledge. You're saved by election. It wasn't that God saw you and waited for your choice and then God decided to elect you. God elected you, but by foreknowledge, he knew what you were. Oh, hallelujah. He knew what you would do. But in the same sense, God on the evil side, God is able to pick certain people, certain men ordained of old to this condemnation. How could God ordain people of old? By foreknowledge. He saw what they would do. Give them 10 million chances and they'll never accept it. Try to take it away from you 10 million times and you'll never do it. Why? Because you're elected to believe him. Just as it is with him, so much more on the other side is it with you. Now watch, then God goes to bringing election into real view when we look at this man called Abraham. What's a prophet in Israel in the church? He elected Abraham, and that was the very beginning of our salvation. That was given to man when he called him and elected him and predestinated him. Now here, of course, we come out after the flood and we see that the descendants of Shem coming down through that line, even though same mother, same father, and we know that Ham, Shem, and Japheth, yet Ham, from Ham comes the Canaanites, the Philistines, the Amorites, the Hittites, but out of Shem comes the seed that God is going to deal with. Now everybody in that seed line is not righteous, because out of there you will find that there will be an Esau, there will be a Jacob, there will be different ones. One will be good, one won't be good. Both of them from the same mother and the same father. Abraham able to father an Isaac, also able to father an Ishmael. Are both of them elect? Absolutely not. God chose which one was his. Amen. Now watch how Brother Bannon begins this and how that election comes into view. He elected him and predestinated him and gave him a promise and made a covenant with Abraham and his seed forever. Now that's not just Jews, but that's also Gentile bride as well as Jews. Right? God said, all the world will be blessed in you, Abraham. Notice
notice now, we go ahead and we read a full chapter on that, but we haven't the time. God called, watch, he called Abraham here. He called him by election. Not because he was, because God was. You see, it's not because you are a good person or you wanted to serve God or you wanted to live for God. It's because God is, not because you is. You a rascal. Well, you might as well say amen. Now notice again, the father Abraham was the first one that I know of on this side of the flood that was called by grace, by election. God chose Abraham not because, listen, he was Abraham, not because he was any good person. God chose him because he was elected. God did it. Now he was elected. Now he was foreknown of God, of course. God knew what he would do. But you see, the problem with Arminianism, the view of Arminianism dealing with the elect in the aspect of foreknowledge, that it takes away from the sovereign choice of God when it was up into the circle of eternity. Then Arminianism will bring it down into the block of time, and then God saw your choice, and then God chose you because you chose him. So that puts you ahead of him. That makes you more sovereign than he is. Oh my. Now notice then, by election, God chose Abraham. You ought to be shouting right now because he chose you the same way. Notice again, he said, now Abraham was called by election. He wasn't any better than anybody else. He came down out of Babylon. Perhaps maybe his father and them might have been an idol worshiper for all I know. But he came down the land of Shinar in the city of Ur, and they sojourned there, and God by sovereign grace called Abraham. Not Abraham calling God. God called Abraham and give him the covenant. Now to my Armenian brethren, this may shock you just a little bit, but he gave it to him unconditionally. That's right. Now you imagine that there are people in the message that still this shocks them when they hear it read. Shows there's still Armenian around us, don't it? Now that's right. He said, not if you'll do this, if you'll do that. There's no ifs attached to it. I have done it. Amen. In the Garden of Eden, God made a covenant with Adam. Adam broke it. Every time God makes a covenant or man makes a covenant, he said, with God, he breaks it. But this time God's determined he wasn't going to let his children be lost. Amen. He wasn't going to let his children be lost. He made the covenant holy, unconditional, and told Abraham, I've saved you. Now you're coming to me in an old age. Wow. I have saved you and you're coming to me. Okay, yes sir, that's right, I will. Amen. I have saved you and you're coming to me. Don't you understand what got a hold to you? Some of you is as happy as you could be, going out and getting drunk, smoking, running around, living with somebody else's husband or wife. You was as tickled with that as you could be. But God spoke and your soul began to recognize there was another life. It wasn't you that got tired of sin. It was the Holy Ghost that got a hold to you. What was it? Election. Election. Oh, praise the Lord. Now you're coming to me in an old age. Not only you, but your seed after you have I saved already. God by sovereign election chose Abraham. How many Christians in here tonight? Let's see your hand. Well, I believe it's about 100%. That's fine. 100% Christian. Then I want to tell you something. It isn't very easy to say before sinners. Do you know why you're a Christian? Because God called you. You never did seek God at any time. No, sir. It's God seeking you. No man at any time has ever sought God. God sought man. Oh, glory. And God by election chose Abraham because God elected him. Not because Abraham wanted it. Some of us may have thought in ourselves, God, why don't you leave me alone? He can't. You're his. He can't let you go. He can't let you slip away. You're his. Hallelujah. He loves you. even when you didn't love Him. He wanted you when you didn't want Him. He cared for you when you didn't care nothing for Him. He come looking for you when you was looking for the devil. Oh, He was looking for you and you was looking for another bottle to drink. You was looking for another cigar or a cigarette or another rock and roll song, but He was looking for you. Oh my, not because Abraham wanted it, but because Abraham did this, because he was a good man, because he had any merit at all. It was God's choice. God took Abraham. Again, he says, you see, Abraham not being nothing himself. He was called by election. Then if Abraham was called by election, then his seed after him is called by election. That's me, mama. Now watch. Abraham was called by election. Nothing Abraham did. And now notice a covenant in Genesis 12. The whole covenant was given to Abraham. And the whole covenant is completely grace. Come on now, some of you legalists, say amen to the word. Abraham, not if you'll do a certain thing, I'll do a certain thing. If you'll do this, I'll do that. So now it's by grace that God called you. Not what you did. What you could do. What you will do. If you're the seed of Abraham, God spoke to you by His amazing grace. Amen. Just. Oh my Lord, just like He did Abraham in the 12th chapter of Genesis. God spoke to you just like He did Abraham in the 12th chapter of Genesis. God spoke to you. God spoke to you just like He did Abraham in the 12th chapter of Genesis. How did He speak to Abraham in Genesis 12? On the basis of election. Leave your father's land. Leave this place and come follow me. He didn't ask him if he wanted to. He said, come on, let's go. That's the way He called you if you're a bride. So now it's by the grace of God that God calls you, not what you did. Oh my. Amen. God called you by grace. By election. My. And as Abraham was called by grace, by election, so is the seed called by grace and election. They heard the voice of God and believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So, Brother Donnie, what about all the rest of these people? John 3:16, folks. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. God don't want them to be lost. No, He offers them grace. He offers them healing and mercy and salvation. Will they be saved? There'll be more of them saved than there will be us. As far as number. But God don't count His. He weighs them. By character, not quantity. It's quality. Now the first thing I want you to know, that when God in Genesis 12 called Abraham, it was by election. It wasn't because Abraham was good. Don't get this in your mind. I'll tell you one thing. God saw I was this and that and the other. God saw you was a low down, good for nothing tramp. Some of you had been a prostitute tonight. You would have been a junk addy on the street or a drug addy. Who knows what you'd be if it hadn't been for the grace of God. It was because that God chose Abraham, not Abraham choosing God. It was God choosing Abraham, and that's the way He calls His seed too. Not what you want to be. Not him that dwelleth or him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. Is that the scripture? Certainly. It's not what you want to be. It's what God chose you to be. It's not what you want to be. It's what God chose you to be. Now we find out when God called Abraham, it was by election. You say you sure are reading a lot. I sure am. I want you to know what you believe is the truth. I ain't making this up. I ain't fabricating it. I ain't putting it together. Brother Branham didn't make it up. This comes from God. Oh my. I've heard people say many times, say, I saw God, I saw God. No, I differ with you. You never did seek God. God sought you first. You never seek after God. It's God seeking after you. It's you that will not surrender to God. We're the problem, friends. We're hard-headed and stubborn enough to beat the fire out of us to get us to do anything. If it wasn't for God's election, there ain't no telling where in the world we'd be tonight. Oh my. Notice this in Romans chapter 11, verse 2. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not that the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone. Maybe we should make a video of this and put it on YouTube. Elijah said he was the only one. God's fixing to tell him he had 7,000. So here Elijah said one thing and God said something else. Let prophets be what they are, humans. I am left alone. And they seek my life. Now he's not lying. He's not trying to make up something, Brother Gene, fabricate something. This is what he thinks. Ain't nobody left but me. I'm the only one left. But God is fixing to give Elijah a great encouraging message on election. I'll tell you what, when I found this today, I didn't know if my feet was going to be able to stay on the floor. A lonely man's complaint, a merciful God's response. Notice, this is what, of course, we know is the setting whenever he's crying. And it was not through the thunder, it's not through the lightning, but a still small voice. And the still small voice, listen what it says. But what saith the answer of God? Look what the word Paul uses here. A divine response. An oracle. What saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved. To myself. Amen. They were not reserved to Elijah. They were not reserved to somebody else. I want you to notice God's election. That God breaks the sadness of the prophet's heart with a message on election and predestination. He thinks he's the only one left. Let's look around, friends. Folks are falling away. They're doing this and that and the other. But what can be one of the most encouraging things God can speak to these people? I have reserved to myself. Amen. He didn't say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I made the earth and I made the stars and I put Pluto out there and I've done this and that and the other. And I used that to encourage Job. But that wouldn't encourage Elijah. Elijah was at the spot. He needed to hear a message on election. And he says to God, God, I'm the only one left and they're going to get me. And if they get me, there won't be nobody left. And God said, no, no, Elijah. Let me reveal something to you, boy. I've got some names written in my book. I said, I've got some names written in my book. I have reserved them. Notice God don't say they done it. God don't say they're praying, they're reading their Bible. God don't mention nothing about nothing they've done. God said, I have reserved them. You know how you're free from Laodicea? God reserves you. You know how you're free from the worldliness of this? Oh, Brother Donnie, I'll tell you one thing. No, God reserved you. Amen. What saith the answer of God? I have reserved to myself. What about their will? What about their free moral agency? What about their praying? What about all this and other? No doubt they did these things after he did this. You know why you ain't falling away, friends? The elect of God I'm speaking to tonight. You know why you're not going to fall away? You know why? No matter what the world does, you're reserved. Let people go this way, people go that way, but God has reserved to himself a people. Notice what direct answer that God gives to Elijah. Elijah's looking at God, they tore your altars down. Everybody's turned to idolatry. There ain't nobody nowhere but me living that. Oh God, if they kill me, there won't be nobody left. And God said, no, I have reserved unto myself 7,000. Now what's he doing? He's answering Elijah's charge. Everybody's worshiping idols. Everybody's doing this. He said, no, they ain't. There's 7,000 which ain't doing it. And I'll tell you why they ain't doing it. I reserved them. I reserved them. Don't you see, election? If God hadn't elected somebody, there wouldn't have been nobody in that age. But God reserved. God reserved. God reserved. Why are you here? God reserves you a seat. God made reservations in your name. You ever walk into a restaurant to go eat or walk into a wedding or something like that and it'll say, reserved, reserved, reserved. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Back a while back, whenever we had the thing for the youth here at the church, they had a certain place for the ministers and them to sit. My name was at a certain spot. Carol's name was right beside mine, and Brother West and Brother Tim Burdett. Our names was at a certain seat, and a certain table was reserved. The table wasn't reserved because I sat there. I sat there because the table was reserved for me. Oh, glory to God. I did. I was not chosen because I wanted to be. I was not elected because I wanted to be. I am elected because I was reserved for this hour. Grace, I have reserved 7,000. A 7,000 is a Jewish number, which may mean 7,000, 7,500. It can mean even 8,000 to 9,000. It's a round figure used for a certain number. So when Elijah heard it, after he got over his spell, realizing he wasn't the only one. I think some of the message folks need to get along with God and hear this too. They'll come to a spot, they didn't realize their preacher ain't the only one got it. Their church ain't the only one got it. Come on! Oh, I know that type of thing. Well, bless God, we're the only ones left. You need to get along with God and let God give you an answer. He'll let you know he's got people that never heard of you and your pastor, never heard of you and your little old church. He's got people all over the world reserved for this hour. What was it? It was election in the Old Testament. How was it that Luther come out of the Catholic Church and stood against all the fanaticism that followed his revival? God reserved Luther a place at the table. Do you understand? You are responding to the revealed word of this hour because you've got a place at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You are acting out on your reservation right now. And it ain't you. The Hebrew word for reserved is I have cause to remain. So why wasn't they idol worshippers? because God reserved them to Himself. Why was it I was baptized in titles and never was happy and satisfied about it? Why was it many of you was baptized in titles before you heard about the name? You was reserved. Why was you not satisfied of being a Pentecostal or a Church of Christ? You was reserved. You are acting out now your name at the table, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. There won't be nobody that won't show up, Brother Gene. There won't be no extra seats there. Everybody that's got a place reserved will be there. Amidst the general concept of apostasy, that it reached such an elevation that a prophet of God thinks he's the only one. God let him see election. You know, Brother Branham made a statement, something like this: I'd be a mighty discouraged person if he didn't believe in election. You think, wow. He didn't say believe in miracles, believe in signs and wonders and healing. But if you didn't believe in election, here stands Elijah again. Here stands Elijah again. Hey, on the earth, Lord, what's it going to be? Looking down through time, seeing the darkness. Oh, God, what's it going to be? No, another prophet could look and said, I saw you all over there. Don't worry, Elijah. I've got more than 7,000 this time. I've already got their bodies reserved in heaven. Amen. You ain't just got a seat over there, friend. You have got a theophany body already with your name all over it. It's reserved in heaven for you. He has reserved you in spite of yourself. I believe the elect of God are some of the dumbest, stupidest, unreliest people that ever lived. Yes, I'm talking about you and 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 you. You might as well admit it. But God reserved you. But they're all bowing and bowing to idolatry. They ain't nobody worshiping you. He said, oh no, I've got me 7,000 that I have reserved. You know what the reserves are, don't you? You keep them back till they're needed. You keep them back till they're needed. And they're, oh hallelujah, their identity was needed to be known to Elijah. He might not have showed them individually, but you imagine that prophet of God coming out of that cave and say, glory, glory, hallelujah. Amen. I heard the answer of God. I'm not preaching in vain. I'm not prophesying in vain. He has a reservation made. I'm going to go with him. A lonely man's question, a merciful God's response. I have saved, I have reserved to myself. Do you know what these people are? They are a decree from God. They are an oracle, a mandate. Friends, you sisters just ain't a bunch of long-haired, long-dressed women. You brothers ain't just a bunch of men that come around. You ain't got tattoos all over your face and ears, all or rings all in your nose and your mouth and your toes and your guts and everywhere else, wherever they can put them these days. We're more than that. Why don't we do the things that, oh, Brother Donnie, I've never liked that. It ain't you. It's because God deposited a reservation in you. God reserves you to himself. How could these people, no doubt all around them, everywhere, everybody bound to idolatry. This best brother, and maybe your mom and your dad and your grandpa. But you hear this guy say, I ain't doing it. No, sir. I ain't doing it. Boy, people say, man alive, I honor that guy, I respect that guy. Boy, he's got such courage. It wasn't courage. It wasn't his strength. He got his reservation in the mail. Glory. What was it? Invisible mail. Predestinated seed of God. He probably didn't even know why he's doing it. He said, what in the world's the matter with me? I've always been a coward. I've always been sort of a yellow sort of a guy. But the reservation arrived and he said, we ain't worshiping Baal here. His wife probably thinking, glory. My husband ain't never really been the man of the house. It's about time he stood up and started praying and started reading with the kids. What happened? Reservation arrived. Oh, hallelujah. And there's one over here and one over yonder. They might not have even known one another. And no doubt Jezebel didn't know them. God had them hid. Brother Bram said, God pulled back one of the seals and let Elijah look. And he saw a reserved group. Do you find it so peculiar that Brother Branham in the fifth seal, preaching the seals, will talk about going beyond the curtain of time and seeing his group over yonder? What do we have? Another Elijah on the earth. The denominations are going to saw all my other theology and all the stuff. He was a mighty discouraged man, Brother Amos. But God pulled back the seal and let him see there was millions of them there. Elijah had 7,000. Elijah in this day had millions. And I was one of them. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I was one of them. Amen. Right representation was there when the prophet of God come down through there. And if they said, if you're accepted and you will be, we'll go in on your teaching. That was me. I said, that was me. I am reserved because I come from there. Of times, God can drop down a message of election. And say, don't be discouraged, Elijah. I have reserved to myself. And oh yeah, just in case you think you're keeping yourself, I reserved you too. Elijah wasn't doing that himself. When are you and I going to let the air out of our bag of wind and realize it ain't us? It's him. It ain't me keeping him. It's him keeping me. It ain't me keeping my word. It's him keeping his word. I wish somebody would preach with me tonight. Oh, may I say to you in this last day, God has reserved to himself around the world a bride in this day that will not compromise. It is a reservation by divine election from the sovereignty of God. And there ain't enough devils in hell to cancel the reservation. Your mistakes can't cancel it. Your shortcomings can't cancel it. God is the one who made your reservation. You imagine that prophet. See, here's the answer of God. Isn't it amazing God didn't rebuke him? Just chide him and say, you narrow-minded, thank you. But instead he said, I got 7,000. Ain't never bowed a knee to Baal. That's only half the story. Ain't never going to. Friends, what could ever stop that? These children had the word of God. They were God's word. I know that may strangle a little bit in the Old Testament. They were God's mandate of the day. They were God's oracle. The Lord have mercy. They were the answer to the discouraged prophet of God. Oh God, to let the prophet look over the banister of time and see there's ministers still preaching the word that he brought. There's saints of God around the world that still believes it. We are the answer to the devil's question. Thinking he's all alone.
God says, here's 7,000 friends of God. 7,000 oracles. 7,000 mandates. 7,000 spoken words of God. Now watch how Paul parallels this on down in verse 4. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of Christ. As God reserved 7,000. So in Paul's day, God reserved. In Irenaeus' day, God reserved. In Luther and Pentecost, in our day. So is it today. God has reserved. Now I guarantee you 7,000 in comparison to the number of the world would be very, very small. But 7,000 in comparison to one. When you think you're the only one. 7,000 compared to one. Of course, you know that's 7,000 times bigger. So he had to crease his thinking. Election can do that for you. It can expand your thinking to where you realize this is way bigger than you even thought it was. It is more solid. It is more secure. What did this bring to him? It brought a solidification. You are not preaching in vain, Elijah. You did not reserve these. You don't even know they're here. I reserved them. They're not reserved for you. I reserve them to myself. Even so at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Election of grace? So grace and election does not contradict each other? No. How are you saved tonight? Election of grace. Oh, Brother Donnie, I didn't think I needed grace. Where did you get that idea? I've never said you don't need grace. You do need grace. It was God's election of grace that called you before the world began. Do we need grace in our application every day of our lives? I need it every day I live. Come on, children. I need the grace of God and the strength of God every day that I live. Do I believe I'm reserved? I am. Am I reserved against the idolatry of Laodicea? I am. But I need strength. I need courage. I need power in my life. Matthew 24:24, and for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets shall show great signs and wonders, and so much that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect, which shows that it's impossible. Look at the meaning of this word now. We changed from the Hebrew language to the Greek. Chosen, picked out. Chosen by God to obtain salvation through Christ. Choice. Select. The best of its kind or class. Excellence. Preeminence. Now, if you were looking for a new car and you could buy a new Volkswagen for $23,382. Or you could buy the new Lincoln for $22,000 or $23,835. Or you could drive the new Mercedes or a Porsche. Ah, what are y'all smiling about? Or for a buck more, you could drive a Lamborghini. Only a dollar more. Now you all expect me to believe you're going to choose the Volkswagen.
Friends, I know you too well. I'm not an evangelist. Evangelists come in and y'all just ooh him and ah him. And I think if you knew him the way I knew him.
Yes, sir.
What is it? It's in a different class. Praise the Lord. So you mean you go to the lot and buy the little thing, you know, the little one-seater guy. What do they call them little things? You know, them little bitty old T90 things that if you're in a crash with a groundhog, I mean, you're going to be disabled the rest of your life. You would choose that over something like a Subaru or a Volvo that has all these crash tests with a dummy. If you do, maybe you need that job. But why don't we do it? Because we can't afford that class. Let me share this with you and I'll close. 3:26 Tuesday morning. I woke up. The Spirit of God spoke these words to me. Fit for the King. So I lay there and I thought and I pondered. Fit for the King. I went back to sleep and I woke up at 5:30. And this time when I woke up, the King wanted me to know what that meant. Fit for the King. So if you were Adonai, and you had the ability to create yourself a wife. Now there is none. There's no wife fit for you. There's no people fit to be your people. But you wanted them. You wanted a people. So you would create a people by your word. And you would make them fit you. Glory to God. They would fit your cause. They would fit your purpose. They would be fit. For the King. Now then, if you take that fit part and you veil it in an unfit human vessel. And then once the fit part gets born, then it and the unfit fight. Don't you understand what your problems are? The unfit is fighting the fit. Yes. And the fit is fighting the unfit. Yes. But I want to tell you something, friend. The fit is going to win this fight. Hallelujah. Why? Because He has created you to fit His embrace. No one else can take your place. You are fit for the King. I know we don't feel that way. We don't feel worthy. I understand all that. But by His decree, I have reserved unto myself. If you could only understand it, to hear the answer of God to this day. And that day of Elijah, it was 7,000 people that was there that wasn't going to bow to Baal. The furtherance of our decree or our mandate is, if we could hear the answer of God, back to this day it would be, I have reserved unto myself a people who will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I know. Many of you have heard this for years and years of your life. When I came here 29 years ago, I was preaching it then. Some that still left that was here when I came, we've all got 30 years older. There's many children that's born and grandchildren now of yours that was born now that wasn't around then. And we've heard it over and over again. But I believe I'm looking tonight on the face of people who will not die.
Amen.
Amen.
I believe it.
Because you're good, because you're pretty, because you're handsome, because you're rich. Because you're so faithful to God. Because you're good within yourself. Because you've been created fit for the King. And God sent His message. And the message is a spiritual exercise to keep you fit and trim. Keep all the world off of you. So we can run this last mile home. You don't want to have so much weight of the world on you that you're waddling. Wait, Lord, wait, Lord, wait. Let us lay aside every weight and every sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Many of y'all like to walk and like to lift weights and a lot of it. I'm going to tell you what it is. Surely bodily exercise profiteth a little. You can get a little out of it. You ought to do it. Some people go to extreme with it. It's body worship. They want to flex their muscles and look at this and that. Now they've spent half as much time on your workout and your soul as you do in a gym. I wonder what kind of Christians would have here at Happy Valley. Nothing wrong with that now. You do it. But you know all that. But I don't understand. And we'll do that and we'll go to a gym and we'll run and we'll have a train and we'll have this, that, and other. And then God has put a trainer over your soul. And if that trainer tells you don't drink Diet Coke, don't do this and don't do that and don't do that, if you want to do what he or she says, and you say, I'm giving up Diet Coke. Yet God's got a trainer in the pulpit called the pastor to tell you do this and quit that and quit that, and you take what you want and leave what you want and sort through it and come to church when you want to. And you're not going to be fit for the rapture. Oh my. But if you're bride, you'll trim up. Why? Your reservation will call you. Don't you love him? Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, thank you tonight for your word. I know it's so simple. But Lord Jesus, we thank you for it. I cannot imagine how poor Elijah must have felt that day. He must have had a flood of mixed emotions. Happy, glad, yet sad that he had questioned you, and sorrowful that he had said the way he did against his message and all of that. But it must have been so uplifting to him to know you had reserved to yourself thousands. Lord Jesus, we don't know what lays ahead of us. We don't know who will turn away. We don't know, even our own nation, what rights will be taken from us before the end. We know all things are getting ready, Lord. We know even last week, Lord, the seismologist issued a warning in California. So many earthquakes. They was concerned. And just today, I read of another fault that they found, that they had looked over, that they didn't even know was there, running parallel to the San Andreas. And Brother Jason sent me a thing today, Lord, right beneath California, they're having earthquakes 15 miles deep. 15 miles deep. All things are getting ready. Lord Jesus, we want to be ready. Praise God. We don't want just to look at the signs on the outside, Lord. But Father God, we want to be prepared ourselves. We want to be fit for the King. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I believe, Lord, when we go, I'll take my wife by the hand. We'll step out of this world and step into a new body. We'll take our place at that great marriage supper. We'll sit down together side by side. We'll reach across the table and shake
friends, family members, whatever, more hands. Glory to God. Because we have a place reserved in heaven for us. Many reservations we've had to cancel because of sickness or surgery or death in families. Had to cancel airplane flights and hotel bookings and car rentals and this and that and the other. But that's one reservation that is not cancelable. Glory to God. It cannot be canceled. Because it was made by the Eternal Himself. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray You'd bring strength, healing, encouragement, whatever each of us need tonight, Lord. We're here in Your presence. And we make our petitions known to You and say, we are a needy people. The unfit fighting the fit. It's a constant battle with us, Lord. But Lord, we're so grateful that we're not just fighting, but we're winning. Amen. Because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We worship You tonight, Lord Jesus. We worship You. We take courage from this little simple message of election. As Your prophet that day must have felt so encouraged when he come off of that mountain and left that cave to know You had 7,000 reserved. Praise God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We worship You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we raise our hands in the presence of the King? No matter what you're facing tonight that might be discouraging, trouble in your home, sickness in your body, your job, your finances, let the Lord be able to encourage your heart tonight. Let Him be able to issue strength to you, to give you courage, whatever you need for your journey. Praise God. To let you know you didn't start this race. And it's not left up to you to complete it. But the Scripture says, He that has begun this good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise be to God. We worship You tonight, mighty God. We bless Your name, Father. You're awesome. You're wonderful. You're holy. You're righteous and true. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We bless Your name tonight, Lord. Amen. We give You praise because we believe we're part of the reserve. Glory. You could have let us live in the days when Brother Branham was here, but You kept us for the reserve cycle right at the end. Thank You, Lord. It'd been wonderful to have been there. It'd been wonderful if Brother Branham could lay hands on me and ordain me to preach. It'd been wonderful to follow him around and all that. But somehow or another, You wanted me to live now. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm part of the last reserve that's called up, Lord. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. These men, women, boys, and girls, we are reserved to stand against evil, to stand against the powers of darkness. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We stand because of You, not because of us. And we give that honor to You tonight. We don't want to take any praise and credit away from You, keeping us by saying we done it. Or I done this, or I done that. No, sir. I rob You of glory when I do that. Oh, Lord, I say tonight, I stand strong because of You. I stand firm because of You. I preach the gospel because of You. I don't compromise because of You. I'm reserved, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, can we rejoice tonight in Him, saints? Can we rejoice not in us, not in our strength, not in our determination, but we rejoice in the strength of Jehovah. Praise God. You sisters don't cut your hair because you're reserved.
You brothers don't marry a man because you're reserved. You don't love the world and the things of the world. I made up my mind, nothing. You never done no such a thing. You are reserved against idolatry in this day. Praise God. Hallelujah. He has reserved unto himself a people that will not compromise. He has reserved unto himself preachers that will not add to the word. He's reserved to himself preachers that are not in it for money and fame and popularity, but preachers that'll preach the bride right into a body change. And it won't be them. They'll have nothing to brag about, nothing to blow about. They'll have to say, God did it. God did it. Hallelujah. What will you say when you get there? God did it. What will you men say? God did it. What will you women say? God did it. What will you young people say? God did it. I didn't do it. God did it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we worship a little bit now before we go? Oh, my. I feel like he deserves some love. I feel like he deserves some praise and some adoration. My, we ought to be rejoicing tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My, I got a text today from Brother Jason, and many of you know they have a terrible storm pass that way today, and he was telling me and Brother Tim that no property had been damaged, just limbs, things broke around the saints' houses and, you know, all that sort of thing. And he said, we are going to have a time Wednesday night whenever we all get back together. I thought, you know, that's right. We thank the Lord because he watches over us. But let me say this to you. Let's not wait till we get back Wednesday night. Let's go ahead and have church while we're here. Now, we thank God for keeping our homes and floods and this and that and the other. But what about keeping you from the evil of this age? What about keeping you from homosexuality and keeping you from all the sin and lying and debauchery and filth of the world? Who's doing that? Do you think it's you? It's the grace of God. If you thank God for watching over you in a car wreck and keeping your body from getting a broke arm, my, how we ought to thank you tonight, hey, for keeping our soul in the darkest hour that mortals have ever lived on the earth. This is the darkest time that any human being has ever lived. And yet, Brother Terry, you've got a greater desire to serve God tonight than you've ever had. We ought to be thanking God for it. Amen. Many of you saints have been living God for decades now, and you've got a greater zeal, a greater determination, a greater desire, a more made up mind tonight than you had 20 years ago or 30 years ago. You know what, God? You know who done that? God done it. God reserves you to the end. He didn't save you to lose you. He didn't give you the Holy Ghost for you to fall away. He saved you from eternity to answer his call. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sing something for us. Hey, let's just worship together, can we? Oh, my. Forget about Dairy Queen. Forget about going out and getting you a steak. You ain't going to find no steak in Johnson City that's as good as what you're eating right now. I don't care where you go and what you sit down to. Let's just, my, sit at the table of the King. Lord, children, he made you fit. He made you fit for the King. He made you fit. Where can he get a bride that would be fit? There wasn't one. So he made one. He created a bride that would fit to be called the Queen of Heaven, that would fit by his side, that would sit in the throne with him. You are fit for the King. Not your old flesh, your soul. Oh my, I'm saying, I'm going to preach all night. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus.
Every day I see.
It's a reality.
It was His desire to steal away my faith, my joy, my life. Oh, but I have found just in time this revelation.
Yeah.
By the grace of God that was given him, he heard the message of Malachi 4. The seed down inside his soul said, Lord God, give me more. Like little Ruth, he kept eating on the word of God till he ate himself to a body change on streets he's gonna trot. At one time, all many years ago, he thought it was him, his strength, his courage, his mighty resilience. But it all become a shame. One night on Saturday night in Happy Valley, a revelation struck his soul. It wasn't his determination at all. It was the mighty God with the rainbow. He found his name in the book of life. Realized who he was. He's all by the voice of God. He was the bride of Christ. And he heard the voice of God answer back to him. I have reserved unto myself a mighty people like him. In Paul, if I wasn't sold and wore out, I'd shout. You folks better stay out of my way when me and David get together in them streets of gold. Me and him and Harry is going to have a time. What about the rest of you brothers? You're going with us, ain't you? Hallelujah. Oh, don't you love him, saints? Not your strength, not your ability, not your will, not what you wanted. When you ever going to get to a spot, you're going to realize it ain't you. It's him. It's him. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together and I'll let you go. Lord Jesus, thank you so much tonight for your precious word, Father. We love you. We love you so much. I pray tonight that you'd let this sink down into our souls, Father. Not only the visible audience, many sick, others be coming in tomorrow for service tomorrow, and different ones will be going back and streaming the service. I pray the anointing will be so strong in this archive, Lord. It'll deliver people, Lord. People have to pull off on the side of the road. People down in New Zealand will have to pull off. They'll be driving on the wrong side of the road. Lord God, get your bride ready. Help us to get ready, Lord Jesus, so we can leave this whole world. Every day it's becoming a more unfit place for us to live. And while it's becoming unfit, we're becoming fit. Hallelujah. Fit for the King. Glory to God. When the bride leaves this world in a body change, she will leave hell. She will leave Laodicea's corruption. And in a moment of time, be moved into that dimension. And the angels of God hold their breath as we walk by. Because your word has created us fit for a holy life. We have been created to be your people. Created to be fit to sit on the throne. And we'll leave this place and go straight into your dominion. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go with us now, Father. Bring us back again in the morning if it be pleasing to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for letting us be in church tonight, Lord. It's been so good to be here. And it's been so good that you've been here with us. That's what made it so good. God bless you, saints, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Go in the fear of God.
I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record right, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Oh, getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record right, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Trusting in the riches of His saving grace. Through each earthly trial I His love can trace. Sure that up in heaven I shall find a place. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Oh, getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready for the gates of pearl. Keeping my record right, watching.